Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you on the subject of nurturing your child's spirit to life, the importance of a parent's words. We know that the scriptural principle that our words are powerful and they can be used to build up or to destroy, to speak life or to bring death to the spirit of our children. We see in Proverbs 18:21 the well-known scripture, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it's vital for us to apply that important principle in the nurturing of our children and their spirit to life. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Let me read it to you from the Amplified Translation. It says it this way: "The tongue, whose words are jointly formed and fit together for building purposes, is a tree of life to the hearer and the speaker. But a tongue full of vicious words fractures, bruises, hurts, and causes affliction, vexation, and destruction to the spirit or life of the hearer and the speaker." It's important to recognize, if you are a parent today, that your words have phenomenal power in the life of your child. Whether your child is a very young little baby or an elementary school age child or a junior high or high school student, your words as parents are profoundly impacting to their emotions, to the very spirit of the child, and to their heart. So I want to encourage you today that you can be a nurturer of your child's spirit by using wisdom in the words that you speak. We know from observation and from the Word of God that the spirit, or you could say the heart, of a child or any person can be wounded or broken through words. And this is an emotionally unbearable condition for the individual. The scripture tells us the spirit of a man will endure infirmity, referring to even physical illness, that the spirit of a person can sustain or endure infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And that word bear means who can carry it, or who can hold up under it, or who can suffer with that. So a wounded spirit, the scripture says, who can bear? Who can hold up under a wounded spirit? It's very important to recognize the power of your words as a parent. Even you, I am sure, as the listener at this very moment, can think back to your own childhood and think of words that were spoken to you, perhaps from a parent, perhaps from another child in school, perhaps from a teacher, but words that were impacting, words that you never forgot. They may have been words of life, saying, "You can do anything. I think you could be president of the United States." Words that were so encouraging that you held on to them for many years. Or they could have been words that wounded you. "You are so stupid, you'll probably never even graduate from high school." Words that are wounding go into the spirit of a person or into their heart, their inner being, and they are powerful in the most negative sense of the word. Understand that as a parent, You have the responsibility before the Lord to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that nurture refers to providing all the need that's required, whether it be the emotional needs, the physical needs, the intellectual need, the spiritual need. That nurture refers to being that provider and the one who gives and builds up those specific areas. And you nurture your child's spiritual life through words of life that come from your mouth. Make that dedication today if you're a parent, even if your children are grown, that you will be a person that will speak life, that will speak encouragement, that will speak of the future with hope instead of speaking words that are negative and discouraging. And that word discourage means to take the courage away. When someone discourages another person, they are trying to take the person's courage away. We need to be encouragers. We need to be people who will impart courage to other people. And as a parent, you can impart courage to your own child to live, to believe that they can become someone great in the Lord, that they can overcome difficulty, that they can get through any situation. Be a person who's committed to be an encourager, one who imparts courage. And definitely make it your goal with your children that you're going to be one that imparts courage to your child. We see in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, these words: "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." And that word sorrow there means pain or wound. And it's important that we don't bring sorrow into the life of our children through harsh words or vicious words. Many times when a parent is upset because of a child's foolish behavior, they end up speaking harsh, vicious words out of their mouth. And they don't realize that it brings that breach in the spirit that Proverbs 15:4 mentioned. That wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in the tongue is a breach in the spirit. And when you speak vicious, harsh words to a child, maybe in a moment of anger over some foolish thing that they did, understand you bring a breach in their spirit. And that word breach means fracture. Do you want to fracture the spirit of your child because you have a hot temper? Don't be a person that gives in to the fleshly temptation to become easily angered with the foolishness of a child. The scripture tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. So you have to come from the position that the scripture comes from, that children aren't wise in themselves, but that discipline, which means training, will drive away the foolishness and impart wisdom to them. So be a person that's committed to train your child, not to fracture your child through harsh words. Fracture, that word breach in the spirit, means fracture or ruin. It means bruise, hurt. And we don't want to bruise or hurt or fracture the spirit of our young children or even your teenagers. Teenagers are at a place in life where they're looking for encouragement. They're trying to figure out their identity, and they need to have words of courage imparted to them from their own parents. They need words of life spoken over them. You can overcome. You can be great in God. You can become that great person God wants you to be. You are blessed of the Lord. You are gifted. Instead of telling them you can't do anything right, that fractures the spirit. That hurts. That bruises. And that is emotionally damaging. It's vital as parents that we become committed to put a guard over the door of our mouths, that we do not sin against God or against our children through the use of our tongue in a moment of fleshly anger or frustration as a parent. Be a person that's committed, if you are a parent, that no matter what that child does, you will never bruise them, wound them, fracture them with the words of your mouth. You will go to the Lord for wisdom. Ask God, how do I deal with this situation? How do I wisely counsel, correct this child? But I refuse to be used by the enemy of their soul. Satan himself would like to use you as the parent to be one who fractures, wounds, bruises through the words of your mouth. That's Satan's plan for your child, and that's Satan's plan for your words, for your tongue. Remember the powerful words of Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death. Satan wants you to speak death over a child's spirit. He wants you to speak death over their hopes, death over their own self-image, death over their emotions. But God has given you the privilege and the position and the important responsibility before God to speak life over your children with the power of your tongue. And the scripture goes on to say, they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. And that means that the person who loves, treasures the power that God has given us in the power of our words, will see the fruit of it, because they will nurture it, they will use it God's way, they will use it the way God fully intended, and they'll be a speaker of life and blessing. Remember, the spirit or heart of a child or any person can be wounded or broken or fractured through words and through harshness. And truly, as the scripture says, who can bear it? This is an emotionally unbearable condition for the individual. How can you practically apply this principle in your home? First of all, determine in your heart with God's help, and it will require God's help, that you will use your words to build up and not wound your child's spirit. Here's some actions that need to be undertaken in order to do that. First of all, look for good behaviors and attitudes that you can speak well of to your child. Maybe you have a young child that just can't seem to do anything right. You're going to have to be very vigilant to watch for good behaviors, good attitudes that you can speak well of to your child. Oftentimes, a parent, all they can ever see in their child is all the things they do wrong, because they're a child. And as I said, the scripture says foolishness is in the heart of a child. But we're the trainers as the parents, and we're to train them to do what is wise instead of what is foolish. You're going to have to be vigilant to observe a good behavior, a good attitude in your child. Even the smallest thing, find that thing and then speak well of it to your child. I love the way you waited patiently for your sister. I love the way you picked that up before I even asked you. I loved the way you shared your dessert with your sister. Whatever the situation may be, look for good behaviors and attitudes that you can speak well of to your child, because it's life-giving, it's encouraging, it imparts courage to the child that they can do the right thing with God's help. So be a person, that's the first action you need to undertake if you are determined in your heart to build up and not to wound your child's spirit through the words of your mouth. Secondly, undertake this action in your home. Speak loving approval to your child just for who they are, not for what they do only, but for who they are. Look for opportunities when the child's not asking you for anything, you're not asking the child to do anything. Just take them up in your arms and say, I just want you to know, I just love you, Tommy. You are a good boy, Tommy. I love you, Sally. You are the best daughter any parent could ever want. Of course, if you have more than one, you shouldn't say that. But think of words. Find words where you can speak loving approval to your child just for who they are and not for what they can accomplish or achieve. This is vital. Now, it's important to encourage them when they do the right thing, as I mentioned first. But secondly, and this is even more important, you must speak loving approval to your child just for who they are. If you don't, and the only positive words they ever hear from you are in association with something they did or accomplished, you will raise a child who thinks that the only way they can get love is by their performance. And this is very negative, and it's not biblical. God loves you just because He made you, just because of who you are, not because of any righteousness you have done. Isn't that correct? Isn't that biblical? Of course it is. We do not want to put in the spirit of our child that the only way that they can get love or approval is through performance. If you do that, you train them to become performance-oriented, and they will be striving all their life to please you, to please others through their performance. And that is an exhausting burden to place on any person. Maybe that's the burden you had placed on you as a child, that the only way you could get your father's attention was if you came home with straight A's, or if you won the 50-yard dash, or you achieved some accomplishment. Do not lay that burden on your child. It's vital that you speak loving approval to the child just for who they are, just for who God created them to be, so they do not associate love and approval with performance. Don't place that heavy burden on them. It's a yoke that is a bondage that will really affect them as they age, as they get older. So just make sure you bless them with your words and with loving approval and with your actions and with affection just at random moments, not because they did something, not because they achieved something, not because they did something perfectly, just because of who they are. That's vital to raise a healthy and emotionally stable child. The other area that I'd encourage you to do is simply this. Encourage at every opportunity, even the smallest effort that they make when they're trying to do something new. You can encourage a child when they are learning to ride their bike. Very small effort, just for making the effort, encourage them. That's a great effort. That's very good. Just because they fell off their bike, you don't say, no, that's not how you do it. You just encourage them. Find opportunities just to encourage them, even for the smallest effort in trying new things. Be a blessing. Speak life to them. Reassure your child of your love when you are correcting them. This is vital for speaking life into your child, for encouraging them, for not crushing their spirit. When you need to correct your child, when you need to give them a discipline, maybe you need to spank them. Perhaps they did something that deserves a swift spanking. They took the toys from someone else, or they hit a child, or they did something that deserves a swift discipline so that they learn not to repeat that behavior. But when you do correct or chastise your child, use a loving tone of voice when you speak to them and reassure your child of your love. When our son was young, growing up, we commonly would say to him, when we had to give him a discipline for a misbehavior or disobedience, we would say to him, Stephen, we love you, and we love you so much, we're going to spank you so that you remember that that is not the right thing to do. But we love you so much, we're training you to be a gentleman and a man of God. And I would say this to him. He heard it so many times. I'm going to spank you for disobeying me, but it's because I love you and because I'm determined to raise you up to be a man of God and a gentleman. And he heard that over and over again. And it got in his spirit that the reason we disciplined him was to train him to be a man of God and a gentleman. And we always would say it in a very calm tone of voice, administer the spanking, and then we'd say, we love you, it's over, okay, go play, and give him a big hug and assure them and reassure him of our love for him. that his disobedience did not make us not love him anymore. We still loved him. We just were committed to training him properly. So this is vital for you, that you reassure your child of your love when you do have to administer correction, chastisement, or a discipline. Use gentle, loving tone of voice when you're speaking. And this will help nurture the child's spirit to life. It will avoid the child becoming fearful of you when you administer discipline. You don't want your child to pull away from you because emotionally they feel so fearful of you because of your discipline. That's why using a gentle but firm tone of voice is very important. If you're harsh with them and harsh with your words, understand that you can actually engender a fear in your child of you. And you don't want them to be fearful of you. You want them to love you, respect you for your authority as the parent, but always feel reassured that you love them. So that is critical if you're going to be speaking words of life over your child. Now here's some actions to be avoided in this arena. And we've been talking about nurturing your child's spiritual life, the importance of a parent's words. Here's some actions to avoid. Avoid belittling the child, demeaning the child, or teasing as a method of trying to manipulate the behavior of the child. I have observed parents who saw the child do something perhaps foolish and call them hurtful names to try to get the child to stop doing that, to try to get the child to want to avoid that behavior. But they don't realize how damaging their methodology of correction is actually becoming. They're going to end up with a worse problem. If you use demeaning, belittling words or name calling or teasing or even hurtful pet names to try to manipulate the behavior of a child to get them to stop doing something foolish by calling them some name, Tommy's acting like a baby or something to this effect, which I've seen parents do, you're belittling the child. You're making the child question themselves, question their own value and their worth in your eyes. And that is very damaging to the child's spirit. Jesus never did that when he walked on the earth. You never see an example of Jesus belittling or demeaning to get somebody to change their behavior. He was straightforward. He spoke the truth in love. Sometimes he told them straight up a certain thing, but he never engage in this type of behavior. He represented the express image of God the Father, and God is love, we see in 1 John 4, and we know that God wants us to speak the truth. Sometimes you have to tell a child that's not wise, that's not the right thing to do. You're old enough to understand that. Instead of saying you're acting like a baby, say you're old enough to understand that that's not the right thing to do. Now, come here because I'm going to give you discipline. That's different than saying you're acting like a baby and you're demeaning the child, trying to get them to stop the behavior by embarrassing them. That does not speak life or help your situation with your child rearing or child training. Avoid shaming the child with words. Avoid comparing the child to others. That's a dangerous one that will create confusion and also hurt in the child's heart. You don't ever want to say, well, your sister never did that when she was at your age. She never acted like that. Why can't you act like this? Understand that all children in your family, if you have more than one, are definitely going to be different. I grew up with 6 children in the home, and all of us were different. And my parents had to adjust to the different personalities and the different development that we all went through as we grew up. And that's vital for you. You cannot compare one child to another. You have to treat them each individually with words of love. That's all the time we have for today. But I wanted to encourage you, if you are interested in further study in Christian parenting, that we have a 10-tape series called Christian Parenting, The Nurturing of Tender Hearts. And That is available to you for any donation of $30 or more to Hidden with Christ Ministries. Just write to us at the address that will be mentioned in just a moment and ask for that series, Christian Parenting, and we'll be happy to send it to you. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.